All right, so we're starting a new chapter, which has to do with tshuva in some regard, but it mainly has to do with seeing perspective in life in a different way. And the same way, in many ways, we were talking about how to see life from a different vantage point. And we're talking about Yerida Tzorech Aliyah and seeing the value of the Yerida, not as a B'dieved situation, but as a lechatchila situation, where a yerida is what's helping you have the force of going uphill, and therefore really having a different outlook. So Rav Kook is saying like this: Kshebaim lashuv betshuva, when you come to do tshuva, tzchim ladat she'en shum menia b'davar. You need to know that there's nothing stopping you. There's nothing stopping you from doing tshuva. There's nothing that can happen that is really stopping you from doing tshuva. Even the 24 things that are brought down in the Rambam that stop a man from doing tshuva, nothing stops you from doing tshuva. Tshuva is not a linear process where you're going from A to B, and if there are obstacles in the way, then you are stuck. Tshuva is not a ladder that if you're missing levels in the ladder, then you can't get to the next stop. Tshuva is literally a reset. An update, right? Installing an update on your software. And even if there are bugs that are making your software now a glitch, this update will fix them. And even the 24 things that stop you from doing tshuva, that we would say that and one of the reasons the Rambam says is these 24 things stop you from doing tshuva is because they have an addictive personality to them, and therefore you can get addicted to them. And even if you want to do tshuva, they're going to stop you because you're already addicted to them. Rav Kook says when you really come to do tshuva, they can't stop you.
So nothing. What's the difference? Like, what is Rav Kook adding here? Meaning, he's just saying, oh, they don't really stop you. But the Rambam says they stop you. So what's Rav Kook like really? Like, what's he really saying?
Rav Kook's saying is that when you really want to come to do tshuva, they're not going to stop you.
So the Rambam's saying when you don't really want to do tshuva, these things
stop you. No, Rav Kook says these are things that stop people from doing tshuva. Meaning in general.
Whether they want to
No. So that's not how Rav Kook is understanding the Rambam.
That's what I'm saying. It's fine. So Rav Kook, if you really wanted to, then they don't really stop you.
Right. Right? So, and he's going to explain, right? But the idea is that the greatness of tshuva and Rav Kook, you know, the only actual part of his books that he wrote in a systematic way was the first three chapters of Arota Tshuva. Everything else in Rav Kook is a compilation of different essays that he wrote, and not necessarily chapters in a book. And the only part that he actually wrote as chapters is the first three prakim of Arota Tshuva. So Rav Kook, So tshuva in Rav Kook is something very important in his philosophy, and he's telling us that at the end of the day, nothing stops you from doing tshuva. Nothing can really stand in your way. But the importance of Rav Kook is not, he's not just telling you, it's not, he doesn't want you to just know this as information, right? The Rambam said that there's stuff that can stop you, and Rav Kook's saying that there's stuff that can't stop you. No, that's not what Rav Kook is trying to tell you. Rav Kook is trying to tell you that tshuva is a certain thing that cannot be stopped, right? The only thing that can stop tshuva is you not desiring to do it. But, right, so there are many things in life that you can say, listen, I wanted it enough, and I didn't succeed, right? I wanted enough to be in the NBA, didn't happen. I wanted enough to become president, and didn't happen. I wanted this enough, and you know what? There are certain things in this world that you can't have. Physically, they're going to stop you. There's certain thing that, you know, if two guys want to marry the same girl, it's just not going to happen. You can want things very much in your life, and that's not going to do it. But, Rav Kook is saying, but when it comes to tshuva, there is no such thing as I wanted enough and it didn't happen. The only answer is, you didn't want enough. You gave up midway, right? But Rav Kook is telling you, tshuva is this concept that you need to know. You need to know, ein shum minia badavar. There's no such force that exists in this world that can stop you from doing tshuva. Right? So even the things that Rav Kook, that you might say that are stopping you, they're not really stopping you. Meaning, these things can't physically stop you, even if you did the worst sins, right? And Kadosh Baruch already says, and it's brought down in the prophets, that there's no such thing as an avera that's too far. There's no such thing. There's nothing you can't do tshuva for. There's nothing you can do that will make God give up on you, right? The only thing that you can do is you give up on yourself. But from God's vantage point, any avera that you, anything that can be done, can be undone. Anything that can be done, can be undone.
In God's mind, not necessarily in this
right.
world, but I'm saying
right.
in
so,
your spiritual.
Right. So the only thing that can stop you from doing tshuva is you, right? Is that you don't believe in it enough, or that you feel that you can change. And that's what the Rambam was saying when he was quoting the 24 things that stop a person from doing tshuva are things that you just feel that you can't change, right? I've been trying. Yeah, and I can't do it. Yeah.
Why does the concept of Ben Sora Mora exist if this idea is true?
So Ben Sora Mora is really a fascinating idea. Exactly. And in Kabbalah, there's a lot of concepts about it. But the one thing that needs to happen in order for there to have a Ben Sora Mora is that it's both its parents come and say, we've given up on this person. That's why Chazal say that this never ever happened, because parents can never give up on their child.
Also why capital punishment right? never happens.
But the idea is, and this is something that one of my rabbis always say, that Gemara says, Ben Sora Mora Nidon Al Sofo. Ben Sora Mora, we judge him based on how he's going to end. And he used to always say that, how does somebody become a Ben Sora Mora? Im Nidon Al Sofo. Person will become a Ben Sora Mora if you judge him based on what he's going to become. But we don't have that mindset in Judaism.
Yeah,
right?
So that's what I'm saying. There's no such thing as a realistic Ben Sora Mora.
No, Chazal say that straight up. Chazal say that straight up. That the idea of Ben Sora Mora, of introducing Ben Sora Mora.
But why does the idea exist then? The idea is that you can never, a person can never not do tshuva.
Right.
Why did Hashem create that concept of, there's a hypothetical scenario where someone did give up, I gave up on someone's tshuva.
Right. So God, and again, Ben Sora Mora is it very... It's something that a person needs to learn inside in order to really get a deep answer. But I'm just going to give you the surface and hope that you know what it's saying inside. But the idea is that God telling you that there is a reality, right? A hypothetical reality. Same way the Rambam is saying there are 24 things that can stop you from doing tshuva, but that's not real, right? That's not real. And I think the fact that we're telling us that, you know, everybody has to give up on him is what's really going to stop anybody from ever giving up on him, right? Meaning, he is never going to be a Ben Sora Mora if somebody still believes in him. And therefore, even if I'm this close to giving up on my child, I say, wait, me giving up on my child means that he's a Ben Sora Mora? No. I still have hope, right? It's really that flip side idea of, yes, in theory, a Ben Sora Mora can happen. There can be a society that says, we give up on this person, he's not going to grow, he's not going to change.
Does that mean that God also gives up on this person?
Oh, for sure not. And that's why God says, I'd rather take him now and raise him from here on, then let a community that gave up on this kid raise him. Because if everybody gives up on him, and everybody's going to tell him, listen, right? And why do 80% of prisoners end up back in prison? Because what are all their friends in prison saying when they're getting out? See you soon, right? You're going to head back here. And if everybody in the court system and everybody in the recreational system is telling him that he's going to head back in jail, so 80% of them find themselves back in jail, right? That's why Judaism doesn't believe in prisons. We believe in... And Eir Mikla, we believe in Eved Ivri, which are concepts of real growth, and not let's stick all the people we don't like together somewhere, lock them up away, so society doesn't have to deal with them. Yeah.
Can I offer another possible Ben Sora Mora explanation?
Always.
I think from my perspective, also after learning it inside in the Gemara, in Makot, I think Makot, right? Yeah, it's Makot. Makot or Sanhedrin? I can't remember.
Sanhedrin.
Definitely in both.
Sanhedrin? Huh?
Is it definitely overlap.
It's mentioned in both? Yeah, okay. So maybe I learned it in both. But from my perspective, it seems like there's a difference in the Torah between what we say is the punishment that a person deserves, mibchinat, like what you did against Hashem, and then there's being like what you do to like humanity, like your community and like your parents. So... like, from the side of, like, if we know 100%, like, in this kid's heart, that, like, he's, you know, he is a Ben Sora Mora against his parents in the way that it's going against what the Torah says, like Kibud Av V'Em and all those things, whatever, like, that it's against Hashem, then you can kill him. But because you can never, ever know that, therefore you can never actually ever kill this kid, because you can't ever know if like his intentions for being wayward and rebellious are because he's going against Hashem in that way. And so, right? Does that make sense, Rob? I don't know.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Do you tell me, you can tell me that I'm wrong. Like, feel free. But like, that's fine.
I don't have a monopoly on what's right or wrong. I think in the context of Rav Kook, I think in the concept of Kook, what he's trying to say is that, you know what? Even a Ben Sora Mora should never give up hope that there's what to change, right? And if a Ben Sora Mora didn't give up hope on him, on himself, then for sure somebody in the community will not give up hope on him. And there, that's the game changer, right? The only real sin is when you're giving up hope on yourself, right? The only thing that really is stopping the 24 things have in common is that they're easy, they can convince you that you've gone too far, right? And I mean, and it works. I mean, Christianity is convinced, right? But in Judaism's perception, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as anything that you cannot be undone, right? Does that mean that it's going to be easy? Does that mean that I don't have to work on it? Does that mean that if I kill people, that I'm just going to wake up in the morning and be a better person? No. But I can be undone, right? So just because it's not a snap of a finger, doesn't mean it's impossible. So I think a Ben Sora More, and I think Chazal definitely take it as a concept of this is more an allegorical concept,
yeah,
of, you know, if a person that this exists on paper, but in theory it's not going to happen. Why does it exist on paper? It's in order to make sure that it doesn't happen in reality, right? So and that's why Chazal say Judaism also didn't have capital punishment. Why? Because people knew there was capital punishment. Right, and the people didn't know. They thought there was no capital punishment. That's the in Gemara Makos, where the rabbis say to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Tarfon, right? Gamatem, right? If you're what?
Rabbi Akiva goes, never have capital punishment, right?
If you're not going to have capital punishment, then people are going to kill each other,
yeah,
right? So we don't have capital punishment in order to kill. We have capital punishment in order that we don't have to come to capital punishment. So Rav Kook says like this: the ain. Levatel shum netiyah shel tshuva lo ktana shebaktanot mipnei shifluta lomar she'en harayon hakatan ra'uy lefi midato she'adam yishaer et pnei atzmo velo tarana yoter gadol lomar shehu gavoah yoter me'erko. Rav Kook says we should never belittle tshuva. We should never belittle tshuva. Never say I'm going to do tshuva for this. It's something so stupid, right? I mean, when was the last time you did tshuva for coming to late to shul 30 seconds late? When was the last time? When was the last time you did tshuva for not saying Amen Baruch Shmo and Amen Chazarat Hashatz?
Never.
Why? Because
we only come 30 seconds
late. Yeah, no, but if you come 5 minutes late, I guess you feel bad, right? But I mean, you know, how many times it happened that I came late, but they didn't even start yet because everybody's coming late, so I didn't feel bad. What do you mean? Of course you should feel bad, right? But it's such a small, petty thing. I'm not going to do tshuva for it, right? And it's also an Aben Adam LeMakom reality. Some things are like, they're small. You'll get it, right? I understand. It's not a big deal. And Rav Kook says, tshuva is not something you do. It's a way you live. Right?
How do you constantly, like, after every day, I could probably list 10 things that I, like, wish that if I could redo my day, I would have done differently, right? So, how do I constantly, like, should I be, like, writing all these things down and thinking about them? Like, according to the Rambam,
for sure. That's your cheshbon nefesh before you go to sleep. That's supposed to be the video you say before Kriyat Shema. According to the Rambam, yes. Okay. Right? But, and I want to hear what Sarah said, but tshuva is not this like beating me up myself up.
No,
tshuva is not being okay with it.
Without getting better, yeah.
Right. So you know what? I came late 30 seconds. I'm not okay with that. It's not like, well, you know what? I still got my tefillin on in time. Fine. That's not.
So basically, tshuva is about not making excuses.
Definitely, tshuva is not making excuses. Without a doubt, the Rambam's first step of tshuva, of hakarat achet, is not making excuses, right? Yeah. And you know, Chief Lord Gaon Shlita, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks Admor, once said that a person after he makes a mistake has two paths in his life: the growing path and the descent path. And the growing path is when you ask yourself, what did I do wrong? And the opposite is when you ask yourself, who did this to me? Right? So if you blame other people, you're always going to not only grow, not only not grow, you're going in the opposite direction. So the first concept is to admit it. Was it horrible? No. Was it wrong? Yes. Right? If we're going back to, you know, Ishbitz and Reb Nachman a little, there's a difference between making a sin and making a mistake.
Yeah.
And just because I didn't sin doesn't mean it wasn't a mistake. Right? And I don't, I, it's not, and Rav Kook's saying that what's the problem, right? He says, "En levatel shum netiyah shel tshuva lo ktana shebaktanot b'pnei shifluta lomar she'en harayon hakatan ra'uy lefi midato she'adam yishaer etatzmo." Right? Meaning, I'm not, right? Most people that you meet, they're like, "I'm not a great person. I'm also not a bad person. I'm kind of average." Right? Did I miss davening? No. Did I come late? Just because, and therefore, we might think that it's not worthy of my time, or even worse is to say, it's not worth God's time for me to express that, you know, that was a mistake. But in doubt, Rav Kook is trying to change a little bit right here, our perception of tshuva. Tshuva is not a checklist. If you think tshuva is a checklist, I write down everything I need to tshuva for, and I cross them off. You know what? If you're going to make a checklist, there are things you're not going to put in there. Either because they're too big and you're never going to check them off, or because they're too small and I do them anyway, right? So I didn't make a checklist today if I put on my socks, right? Or if I put my right shoe on right and the left shoe on also right? Because those things I do naturally. I do them. They're part, right? So Rav Kook says, tshuva is not a checklist. Tshuva is not a concept of, right? First, we have to understand what tshuva is not. It's not something that there are things that are too small for it. It's not something that things that are too big for it. And it's not something that can ever stop you from growing. Right? If something's stopping me from doing tshuva, then the only answer is, I didn't understand tshuva right. Right? If somebody says, I'm a bad person, what's the answer? Then dafka, you should do tshuva. Right?
Yeah.
But instead, I'm so bad, I can't do tshuva. What are you talking about? Then you have the most potential of growth, right? There was the biggest Rasha in Berdichev. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev said to him, "Can I be your chassid?" So he said, "Rebbe, I'm the biggest Rasha. What do you mean you beat my chassid?" He goes, "Well, you know, one day you're going to do tshuva because you're a yid. And averos nasim kezchuyos. So you're so down below. When you do tshuva, you're going to be the highest. By then, everybody's going to want to be your chassid. I want to buy in now. I want to invest now." And obviously that changed that person's life, and he became a follower of the Berdichever and became one of his closest students, right? And that's the idea. It's the idea that, you know, I'm buying it out because I know, right? So there's nothing that's stopping you from doing tshuva. Nothing that is going to be too big. And the big problem Rav Kook is stating is that the main reason we don't do tshuva is because things are too small. And therefore, the things that are too big, I'm never going to do tshuva because...
too hard.
The two small things are too small. And then the middle set, the mediocre stuff is like... you know what? Everybody's struggling with that. I'm struggling with that also, so I'm normal. But if you live a reality of saying, I constantly am growing, so even the smallest thing is good. If you're trying to train for the Olympics, if you shave off a fraction of a second from your time,
it makes the difference between gold and silver.
Right, and that's a growth. That's growth. But if you're not training for a medal, you're just trying to run, fine, so last time I did it in 55 minutes, this time I did it in 55 minutes. What are the seconds? I don't know, I didn't look. But if you're training, every second matters. Every fraction of a second matters. And Rav Kook says like this, "Ki akol ole umitzteref biyachad lekoma shlema ve'olam male shel tshuva shehu yakar gadol ve'kadum mikol ha'olamot ha'achirim." Rav Kook is trying to give us an idea that the small things, they connect on a greater level. Now, we usually have an analogy of if something very, very small little things, then they connect, and they, you know, a million little things, a hundred pennies is a dollar. So, okay, why would I spend my time picking up 100 pennies when I can spend my time better and making $5? But that's not the right analogy. The concept of mitzaref, tsaruf, is when things are molded together. And when things are molded together, then the small concepts are greater as much as the big concepts. Because if you're trying to build something, and you have the big beams and the big stuff, sometimes it's the little nail that's going to make all the difference. Sometimes...
one way or the other.
What?
One way or the other. Like to support it or to cause the fall.
Right, right. So at the end of the day, I could sit there all day doing tshuva and bring up these big beams, and I don't have the little stuff. And Rav Kook is giving us something I think that is really, really important to understand. And there's a concept that we heard a lot growing up, and people speak about it all the time, but I don't think we ever go to the depth of it. And that is the concept of tshuva kadma la'olam. The world of tshuva existed before this physical world. Tshuva is not a reaction to your actions. Tshuva is a proactive reality of who you are. You are a growing being. You're always constantly growing and evolving. And the way for a kid to learn not to put something in his mouth and choking is by putting something in his mouth. And not touching the oven by touching the oven. And spilling water by trying to pour water into a cup and spilling the water. And for an adult, you know, to learn to study for tests is how important studying for tests is by getting that D even though you thought you were going to make it out with a B+. And you know what? That's how we learn. That is tshuva shekadma la'olam. Now, one of the great things is that I can learn from other people's mistakes if I really trust them, and if they can really articulate to me what they went through, then I don't need to do it, right? I don't need to total my car to understand that I shouldn't be going 150 on a freeway, right?
It might, if you're somebody who speeds, it might take that.
Some people need to learn that way, but I don't have to learn that way. Right? I can see enough, right? And one of the things that they do in the army is they take you to Beit Levinshtein. In Israel, Beit Levinshtein is the house, is a hospital where they keep all the people who are in comas. In comas. It's like a special hospital for people that are in comas. They get moved out of the hospital at a certain point, and they go to Beit Levinshtein, and they take you in the army there. And there's a tour guide, and she takes you, and she explains to you why every single person here is in the coma. And this person is in a coma because he drove like this. And this person is in a coma because he smoked too much. And you literally, as soldiers, go through this hospital. And they give you a tour of all the people that are in a coma. And why they're in a coma. And you leave that place and you're like, holy cow. Like, wow. And that is like one of the most powerful moments. Because you don't need to make those mistakes. Now, there are certain things that you're going to have to grow. Right? I mean, I can't explain to my kid what not choking is unless they have experienced that. Right? But there are certain things that I can learn based on my experience and another person's experience and build them together. Right? So Rav Kook is telling us that tshuva comes before this world, and therefore to say something is too small or something is too big, that's the wrong perception of tshuva. A checklist concept is a concept of, I think there's things I need to get done, there's things I need to change, and therefore I need a checklist. The concept that Rav Kook is talking about is more of a novel. You can't write a novel with a checklist. You're not sitting there being like, plot, got it. Characters, got it. Like, that's not how you're going to get a novel down. A novel, you're going to start writing, and it's going to pour out. Something's going to happen. Some story is going to weave itself in different concepts.
But you might have an outline, right?
I mean, an outline, for sure.
You have an outline for tshuva also.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Right.
But the mentality of checking off a list...
Right, is bad. But if you have like a...
Right?
Like a trajectory...
Right. And that's why...
He didn't go to college. He didn't write essays. Like, he doesn't... He doesn't write an essay.
I did not. I did not.
New analogy.
I know what an outline is.
You know what an outline
is. I have outlines. The outline of Derech Hashem. The Mesil Sisharim. I downloaded the PDF.
No, I know an outline. Checklist is like I'm going grocery shopping, and it doesn't matter what order I get these things in. But an outline or trajectory is like,
right.
Okay, I'm on this path.
So the idea is that there's something inside. I have the outline. I know what I want to, but it needs to come out. I can't force it out of me, right? And a lot of times, you know, writers have writer's block where they're writing and they're stuck, right? And they can't force it out. They can't write the next chapter.
You have mashber, right?
Everything. Right, and rabbis have sometimes they have nothing good to share about a parsha, and they don't know what to do. Right, that happens. It's normal because there's a flow of something that started way before I came to the world.
Tshuva,
this novel, this Torah kadma la'olam, this Torah atika stima, exists in its most natural, pure form, and it's being projected through me. And therefore, to say something is too small doesn't work, right? If a person is not going to be, you know, in today's world when we text and nobody knows how to write and spell anymore, so we leave the word I out as much as we want, and we leave the word am, and we just write like, you know, you good? Instead of like, you know, an actual sentence because...
Are you feeling well?
Right? Because we don't... But there's no such thing as things that are not connected. Rav Kook says that this concept of tshuva is an olam Male tshuva shu yakar, gadol, v'kadum, mikol amot acherim. So when you're thinking about tshuva in this physical world, and you're thinking about checklists that you're doing, or, you know, I can't take away the fact that that person, I killed that person, so how can I do tshuva? And I'm telling you, what does it have to do with that? That tshuva existed before that person even existed, before murder was even a concept. So I have to relearn what tshuva is. Yes, without a doubt, that person is not coming back. There's no question. That person was killed, and that person is not coming back. How you react to that, that can change.
Isn't it really hard for the concept of tshuva? Let's say, put yourself in the shoes of someone killed, let's say, a relative or something, right? That person who has a relative, yeah, but how would they, I mean, the concept of tshuva seems like such a generous concept to the person who killed them, not to the person who...
Well, that's the way of shiva, if you're a relative, right?
Tshuva, in Kabbalah, has to start with admitting that what I did is what I did. Then it has to be that I'm denying that that's who I am. Nobody thinks that tshuva is going to take away the pain of Shlomo or of Rochel. That's not what tshuva is. Tshuva is not me getting you to forgive me. There's a facet of Ben Adam L'Makom. There's a facet of Ben Adam L'Chavira. But tshuva has to first start with Beino Lebein Atzmo and my internal work. So a lot of people think that they're not going to do tshuva because I can't take away that person. I can't bring that person back to life. I can't undo what I did. That's not what tshuva is. Tshuva is not undoing what you did. Tshuva is directing how that thing is going to affect you in the future. And that's why we don't do tshuva for small things. It's not going to affect me. Coming 30 seconds late to Binyan, is that going to affect me so much? The Arizal says that if your tefillin strap was the wrong way, you need to do tshuva for that. People are like, what? Tshuva for what? For my strap? Is that going to affect my life? That's why people don't do tshuva. People don't do tshuva. People aren't, because people do understand tshuva only in the concept of Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur tshuva is 100% true and honest, and there's a reason why it only happens one day a week, one day a year, and for a week in the whole concept. Tshuva exists in many other ways besides Yom Kippur. That person is not coming back. But how the world is going to react to that, how you are going to react to that, how that's going to flow through you. So if you're writing a novel and you decide to kill the leading actor in the show, in the book, you're not going to be able to bring him back to life. The question is now, how is it going to continue flowing through you, right? And I think there's a deep concept when we talk about tshuva that most people, and this is going back to Sarah's question, that person is not coming back to life. It's not going to affect how your family treats you. What is going to hopefully change when you do tshuva is how you see yourself in that context.
I was also thinking about it. I think it's, if you view, it's their tshuva also to now accept that you've done tshuva. Meaning, it's if you bring it into an ideal world, if someone makes a mistake, ultimately it should still be an ideal society, because if you did tshuva and everyone else has to forgive you, they have to work on themselves to forgive you, and if everyone reaches this level or whatever.
Right, and that's where it's brought down that Yen Yom Kippur Mechaper Ad She Yaseh Tshuva Ben Adam Lechaver. Most people understand that tshuva is not going to do Yeratzeh, right? Tshuva is not going to work until you get everybody to forgive you. And one of the deeper understanding is that God's not going to forgive you until you forgive them. Right? Part of my tshuva process is understanding the same way I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. You did something that is going to change my life forever, but I need to forgive you, or else I can't expect anybody to forgive me. Right? In this scheme of things, it's not a checklist. If it's a checklist of getting, you know, Miss Smith to forgive me that I hit her son when I was drunk driving, that you're never going to check that list off. Never going to happen. That's why tshuva is not a checklist. Tshuva is a realization that I am learning. I'm on a learning process. And a lot of my learning is going to be learning through mistake.
And not only my own, but also other people's.
Right. And that's why Rav Kook says in Orot HaTshuva that you haven't done tshuva yet. Right? You haven't done tshuva yet until one of the great concepts of tshuva, the only thing that is not tshuva, the only avera that exists is not learning from your mistakes. If it's only an avera if you haven't learned. If you've learned from your mistake, now it's a mistake. Well, have you ever heard somebody say, I learned from my avera? No. Because I don't learn from my averas. I learn from my mistakes. It's only when I'm able to take the avera and turn it into a mistake, then I can learn from it. Right?
Or isn't it like once you can take the avera, learn from it, then it becomes a mistake?
Right, 100%. Right. So, Rav Kook is saying that if you think that there's stuff that you can't do tshuva for, then you're just misunderstanding the concept of tshuva. And if you think that there are things that are too small to do tshuva for, you're misunderstanding the concept of tshuva. And this world of tshuva is so big. And usually when we think, and this is something that was a very big change for me when I started learning Pnimis HaTorah, we usually think that because the upper worlds are so much greater, then the things that we do here are so much smaller. But it's a currency switch, right? There are things that are so small in this world, but once you change them into a currency of an upper world, they're huge.
You spoke about that on our first date.
Really? What did I say?
Use like the analogy of a tree, and like this world is a tree
upside down.
I don't remember. Something with like the roots.
Probably not such a memorable first date.
Wow.
We can only imagine, Ruff.
Oh,
she didn't want to date me.
She
didn't want to continue dating me after the first date. She was the worst.
We'll talk about this later. We'll talk about this later.
Let's just say she didn't bring up with you on the car ride, though.
Do you know how we had to get home?
Took a bus together.
Okay, we're not going to get into this now.
I'm kind of curious, though.
I've heard
this.
Do you think it's...
You've heard his version.
I've heard his version.
I was talking about
the fake version.
You got the story I was talking about?
No. Yes.
His truth. His truth.
She didn't bring up with you on the way back from camp on the car ride.
Over text. She wasn't even in the car. It's over text.
No, Rob was in the car.
What?
You know this story. No. I'll tell you after. Let me finish the
record. What?
You know this story.
No, I don't.
Let me.
Sar, what is this?
Rav Kook is saying that the idea is that the things that are so small in this world have a much greater value and currency in the next world, in the world of tshuva, because it's specifically those little things that nobody does tshuva for that are so rare. And things are valuable because they're rare. So tshuva on Yom Kippur, everybody does. That's a big tshuva, it's great. But it's not rare. Tshuva for coming 30 seconds late to davening. Tshuva for your filling strap being the wrong side up. Tshuva for not saying hello to somebody on the street who said hello to you. Those things people don't do tshuva for. And that's why Rav Kook is saying in the greater world, in the upper world, these things have greater commodity. But the concept...
It has to be proportional to how much, like, why you're doing it.
Meaning, everything has to be proportional to why you're doing it.
The reason the tefillin strap thing is not just, like, some person who's murdering people right in life is like, oh, but I'm careful with my tefillin.
Right.
It's the fact that he cares so much.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And the idea is that most people don't shoot tshuva for that because they have the wrong perception of tshuva. And therefore, if you have the right perception of tshuva, you understand that there's no such thing as too small of a gesture. Right? So a person who's doing tshuva for his tefillin strap being the wrong way and he's killing people right and left, he has bigger problems, right?
But I think Rav Kook is saying that's not wrong. Like, you can be doing great avero, but you can still do tshuva for the small things, because if it's true tshuva, that will develop and evolve into doing tshuva for the greater things.
Yeah, but I think that if the tefillin strap and that and all this stuff can be brought down to the same mentality, which is like, the tefillin strap means, oh, I'm not, like... I would assume this is what he meant. It's like, I'm not being careful enough. I'm not being medayik enough in the way I do mitzvah, in the way I express whatever for Hashem. And therefore, is that really sincere when you're still murdering people? Then with this, is that really considered?
So I think the answer would be time will tell. Maybe you're only on the madriga where you can change that right now, and it will grow, right? But I think the idea is that people people understand tshuva as like, I'm convincing God, I have to appease God. I did wrong and I have to correct my wrongs. And Rav Kook is saying tshuva came before the world. Tshuva came before there were wrongs. Tshuva is not about making God feel better, making me feel better. The tshuva is about being in a constant, steady growth. And therefore, if you're not going to take care of the little things, right? So if you have a flashing red sign in your car, then you're going to take care to the shop. If you have a little tiny dot, and you're like, yeah, it's probably nothing. And then a little tiny other light go on, nah, nothing. Then eventually, nothing. Your car's going to break down, right?
Sounds like a good story.
I take mushrooms for my own day to day, right? But the idea is, I think the idea Rav Kook is trying to say is that you're, and this is something that relates to an idea I shared a couple of weeks ago about the bricks, about when they build the Tower of Babel, they use bricks, right? Also they use bricks. What's the idea of bricks? Is that everything's unified, everything's conformed, you have to be like us and look like us in order for this to work. And the idea is that when
you can't ever really,
right, is that when you build something from rocks and you have two rocks that don't fit, you fill in the small rocks. You have to take the small rocks. The small rocks are valuable when you're building out of rocks because there's in the gap, you have to fill them in, right? And even the tiniest rocks can fill in the tiniest gaps.
And even water can fill in those gaps.
Right, so when you're building a building, if you want a building to be really, you know, so if you're a perfect tzaddik, which doesn't exist, then you only have bricks. Everything is cut clear, right? But if you're a person, a yid, and you do your best, and you get stones. Some of them are nicely and round, and some of them are rigid, and some of them are half, and some of them are broken. And you have the small ones, you fill them in. But if we don't have value for the small things, if we're only thinking that we're here to fix what's wrong, then we're missing the concept of tshuva. And tshuva is that I am a growing process. And therefore, there's no such, if I'm trying to grow and I'm trying to be better, let's say I want to be the best basketball player there is, there's no such thing as a bad tip. And even if I heard it a million times already, then maybe there's a reason I'm hearing it a million times. Maybe people are constantly saying this, you know, and maybe I, right? If I really want to be the best in something, there's no such thing as too much advice. Only when do I stop listening to advice? When I think I'm the best. So if I'm trying to be the best I can be, then there's no such thing as something. You know, somebody said to me like, you know, you got to be better at, saying Baruch Shemon Amen. And the answer is, you're right. I know. Thank you. Right? But if my reaction is like, I know, like, you know, for sure, you know, I got bigger things to fry, then I'm missing the opportunity. Right? So in today's world, every kid is practicing more free throws, more three-pointers than foul shots because they want to all be like Steph Curry. But in reality, that if you don't know how to dribble, then you're not, then forget about your three-point shots. It's not going to help, right? So you got to go to the basics. And Rav Kook is trying to tell us that in this world that exists up there, that exists before tshuva, it's silly to think of tshuva as in terms of like big and small, or things that are stopping me, because davka, those things that you think are stopping you are your biggest allies for doing tshuva, because they're going to help you know who you don't want to be and move in that direction. Should be Zohar.